What if you could make fresh, delicious meals at home without the stress of planning, prepping, or cleaning up? Introducing Tavala. Tavala is a first-of-its-kind meal service that makes eating well effortless. By combining a countertop smart oven with delivered meals, just scan a QR code to cook dinner. First, choose from a variety of chef-crafted meals delivered weekly to your door. When you're ready to eat, just do 1 minute of easy prep. Next, scan your meal's QR code with the Tavala Smart Oven, while the oven automatically switches between modes and temperatures for the perfect cook. Just sit back and relax. Your food's ready in 25 minutes or less. No shopping, no chopping, no cleanup. Simplify mealtime today with Tavala. Go to Tavala.com now to save $150 on a Tavala Smart Oven when you agree to order meals 6 times. That's T-O-V-A-L-A.com. Promo applied automatically at checkout. Tavala. Eat well effortlessly. Tavala.com.
That's what I'm talking about. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. So I was going off of yesterday. Hickey read me this list of 10 bold predictions from CBS Sports about this upcoming NFL offseason, and we said how realistic or unrealistic those predictions were. I'm not saying these are bold predictions or hot takes. We'll leave that up to Hot Take Hickey on his very famous radio program, Friday nights into Saturday mornings, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. I think the show should be called, or at least like an hour of the show should be called the Hot Take Hickey Hour, but I have not really won that argument. So if you want to give Ryan a call this weekend and just say, hey, Hot Take Hickey, you know, what do you think about this hot take? Or answer whatever question he's asking you and just refer to him as Hot Take Hickey. I'm not telling you to do that, but I would greatly appreciate it. And I think it would put me in a good mood. You know, we're sitting here in February. It's not a downtime in the sports year. Like, nothing is ever a downtime in the sports year. You never know what's going to pop up. But if you want to just make me have a good weekend, and I wake up Saturday morning and I get a bunch of tweets, oh, did you hear this Hot Take Hickey phone call? And I called him Hot Take Hickey. I wouldn't be disappointed about it. I think I have a little smile on my face and maybe throw it a retweet. By the way, you can always follow me on Twitter at Zach Gelb or on our network's account at CBS Sports Radio. But cue the music. I'll give you 10 NFL predictions for this offseason. Now, Hickey, let me ask you this. Since you had me react to the predictions yesterday, saying if they were, what was the realistic or unrealistic, should I give you my predictions and then you tell me if you think they're realistic or unrealistic?
Ooh, sure. I like this.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Prediction number one, numero uno. Aaron Rodgers will get traded this offseason, and the team that he's going to get traded to is the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, Bob McGinn, who covered the Packers for a long time, said the Packers are disgusted with Aaron Rodgers. But then Jeff Darlington and Tom Pelissero came out today, and I think they have the same source. Darlington says that a very important Green Bay Packers source believes that Aaron Rodgers will be back with the team this season, and Tom Pelissero said as long as Rodgers is fully bought in, the Packers want him back. I am predicting for the first time ever that Rodgers is going to get traded this offseason. I have not done the last two offseasons, and I believe it will be to Josh McDaniels, Davante Adams, more importantly, and the Las Vegas Raiders.
Realistic. And look, the Raiders are backed into a corner. I think Aaron Rodgers is getting traded. I know Dave Ziegler said maybe they won't get their option, you know, at quarterback this offseason, but it's Rodgers or Lamar Jackson. It's the only two upgrades over Derek Carr, so you got to swing and swing big. Absolutely realistic.
Prediction numero two, dose. Jalen Hurts will get a contract extension, a long-term contract extension before Lamar Jackson. And that will happen this offseason as Hurts will get an extension and Lamar Jackson will not.
This is tough. I think it's realistic.
Did you hear A.J. Brown the other day? If they don't extend him, he wants out and he'll go wherever Jalen Hurts goes.
Oh, I think Jalen Hurts, without a doubt, will get an extension this year. But in terms of who gets one first, I could see Lamar getting traded and getting extended right away. Compared to, I wonder if Jalen Hurts, if you know how a lot of these extensions, they go into training camp and we're sitting there and it's mid-August and that's when the deal gets done. I don't think he'll be signed to a deal like March 15th.
Now, Jalen, and I know they go down the franchise tag road, but when a guy just got you to a Super Bowl and is really the heartbeat of that locker room, I don't think you want to play with any emotions there. He is entering the final year of his contract. Now, it's at a very, very low price. I think the base salary is like a little over $4 million, and the cap hit is, I want to say, like anywhere between $4 to $5 million. So it is not a big cap hit, and then that would not start until next year. But for Jalen Hurts, I don't... Not that he'd be viewed as a lame duck quarterback, because the guy just got to the Super Bowl and they could still franchise tag him for 2 years. But when a guy's already showed you that much last year, do you really want to potentially toy with those emotions at all? Even though Hurts doesn't seem to be all that emotional and he seems like he's the ultimate team guy and he won't ever display that publicly with the media, but I would not mess with this. What you have going right now is working. I'm paying this guy as soon as I can this offseason. And the other thing is, too, I'm still on the fence. Like, I don't think Lamar gets a deal done with the Ravens this offseason. I'm still on the fence, though, if he gets traded this offseason or next offseason. So that factored into the prediction. But you're going unrealistic? Is that the official answer?
No, I think realistic. I'm just not sure. If I had to predict what would happen first, I probably actually predict Lamar gets traded and extended first before Hurts gets his extension.
Okay. Prediction number three. Numero tres. DeAndre Hopkins will get traded this offseason. That is a prediction that I have.
Very realistic. Very. Only question is, where?
Now, I don't want to be greedy here. I would really, really, really prefer if it is to my New England Patriots. So Mac Jones could actually have a number one bona fide star wide receiver in this league.
Here's one for you. The Bears.
It's a good one.
Cap space, draft picks, especially if they trade down. Justin Fields, I mean, you're talking about needing a number one receiver. Poor guys. That core receivers he's got is terrible.
I'll give you some scenarios for DeAndre Hopkins. I think the Jets, remember, they tried for A.J. Brown, we found out today. They tried for Tyreek Hill as well. I think the Jets would be in play. I think the Patriots would be in play. A little interesting dynamic with the Bill O'Brien factor in there and him and DeAndre Hopkins' relationship or lack of it. When, according to Michael Irvin, DeAndre Hopkins got, what, compared to Aaron Hernandez by Bill O'Brien?
Some crazy. Yeah. So maybe we could cross Patriots off the list.
The Chargers, I think, could be in play. And here's why. If Keenan Allen is going to be a cap casualty, maybe you replace Keenan Allen with DeAndre Hopkins and you figure out where else to trim the fat on the cap. I don't think the Chargers are out of the realm of possibilities. I'll give you a few more. What about the Pittsburgh Steelers? You have Pickens. Deontay Johnson is not a good is not as good as what they pay him out to be. You just got rid of Chase Claypool. You have a young quarterback in Kenny Pickett. If I'm the Steelers, I'm trying to make a move there.
I'm with you. I don't disagree. Okay. There's a lot of teams that could be in the market for DeAndre Hopkins.
What about the Cowboys? The Giants?
Yeah, both.
Now, I don't think they would trade him inside the NFC West, so throw all those teams out. Oh, you know where he would be good, too? What about Detroit? You got Amara St. Brown. You got Williams there from Alabama. You then throw in DeAndre Hopkins, too? Hello. That would be fun.
You know what would be hilarious?
Yeah?
They trade Aaron Rodgers to the Raiders, Jets, wherever. Jordan Love's the guy. The first move they make once Jordan Love's full-time
Packers
quarterback.
Oh!
DeAndre Hopkins, come on down. Use one of those picks they get from Aaron Rodgers to ship it off to Arizona for DeAndre Hopkins.
I almost thought you were just about to curse there for a second.
How funny would that be?
That
would be great.
That would be the ultimate bleep you move,
yes,
to Rodgers. And as someone that may or may not be a petty person, I'm all here for it. And I think Packers fans would be too.
What about the Browns? Browns couldn't use a receiver. How about Deshaun Watson?
I like DeAndre Hopkins. I don't want to have to. I don't want to have to root for Deshaun Watson. It's where I like the Browns too. I want people like Ken Carmen to be happy. I find it very tough to root for Deshaun Watson these days.
Well, can't blame you there.
Here is prediction number four. I think this may be my boldest take.
Ooh, hot one.
Ever on the radio.
Call the fire department.
Quattro, this is big. Hickey, I think even though you're the king of the hot takes, you're like Skip Bayless's,
Oh, come on.
Son, I think you need to sit down for this one.
Because well, I got to be on my feet in case I got to go call, you know, the fire department.
This takes on fire. Get the fire extinguisher out right now.
911 is on speed dial.
Derek Carr will never be a Hall of Famer. The Jets think he could be a Hall of Famer in New York.
I mean, I think they're telling you you will be. You'll put number four in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Derek Carr will never be a Hall of Famer.
How about a Ring of Honor guy?
No.
If he's out to the Jets, a Jets Ring of Honor.
No. You think that relationship would last more than 3 years?
And I will say the bar is low for a Jets quarterback. The bar's
like, you look at the last 20 years. The two Jets quarterbacks I think I remember the most in the last 20 years, Chad Pennington, and then also Mark Sanchez. I know Testaverde was there too, but Sanchez went to two AFC title games.
Yep. On the back of a running game and defense. Pennington.
He's like you in college.
Was solid.
Didn't really do the assignment, but took a lot of the credit for it.
That's fine. Hey, look. Everyone gets the grade.
And
the
then Pennington
grade.
Was like solid. Yeah? All right. Number five. Geno Smith and Daniel Jones will remain with their current teams. Geno Smith staying with the Seahawks. Daniel Jones staying with the Giants. But Saquon Barkley leaves the Giants this offseason. I know I was back and forth yesterday. Who gets franchise tag? With how long this may take on Daniel Jones to get a deal done, I guess I'll shift back to that Jones gets franchise tag and maybe they eventually agree to a long-term extension, but they got to do that by March 7th or else they can't use the tag. Or they got to use the tag either on Jones or elsewhere. I think they'll have to use it on Jones. And I just have a feeling that if Saquon hits the open market and they don't franchise tag him, he's gone. As much as he loves New York and as much as he should stay on the Giants, I then think it becomes a bidding war. And I think a team like Buffalo does whatever it takes. Maybe you get a team like the Bears try to overpay to get Justin Fields another weapon. If he hits the open market, I think Saquon Barkley is gone from the New York Giants.
Very realistic.
All righty. I think you'll like this one. Number six. The Chicago Bears this offseason trade the first overall pick in the draft. Not saying to who. I just think they trade the first overall pick in the draft.
Very, extremely realistic.
All right. Now this is number seven. And this is one that I think you should warm up to, but you're refusing to do so. The Indianapolis Colts are going to select C.J. Stroud, quarterback from the Ohio State University.
I mean, it's realistic. Chris Ballard loves traits. He could be scared off by the weight of Bryce Young. It's Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, the two top guys. It's realistic.
Now, what about Jim Irsay? What Seth Payne said earlier. Just conveniently toss it out there. Oh, yeah, the Alabama quarterback looks pretty good. Is that Jim? And take off your Colts hat, which I know it's tough for you to do. Is that Jim saying we're going to do whatever it takes to go get Bryce Young, or is that him trying to set up a little bit of a smoke screen because they really do like C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, or Anthony Richardson, and they're not, and he knows they're not going to draft Bryce Young?
No, I think it's the former. That's Jim Mercer liking Bryce Young, not being able to hide his excitement. Like, Jim is not a poker player. He's not a poker player.
That's what you're hoping for.
Like, Jim Irsay is not someone who is going to kind of...
Oh, no, he is a poker player.
...create a ruse, say, oh, look over here, here's a shiny object, and then kind of, you know, try to go through the back door.
Oh, yes, he is.
He's not that kind of guy.
Oh, yes, he is. You were wrong on that. Look at Jeff Saturday. Oh, look at here. We got rid of Frank Reich out of nowhere. Pow! Jeff Saturday, interim head coach. No one knew it was coming.
Well, no one knew it was coming. Also, it wasn't like saying, you know, he wasn't sitting here saying, Frank Reich is going to be our only coach as long as I'm alive. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, the next day, boom, he's fired. Jeff Saturday's in. He didn't create any diversion.
Just saying. No one could have predicted Jeff Saturday.
I don't think as a poker player. So I will say that was just pure excitement and let the cat out of the bag.
We'll go to Ocho, 8. Sam Howell is going to be the week one starter for We Are the Commanders. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. By the way, that was like the most cringiest. That never caught on, right? With that super fan outside the stadium, like, we are Commanders. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
I don't believe so, because I've never heard it since that one video until you just did it right there.
The only the thing that I hear the most, and maybe this is from PFT commenter, left hand up, we commanders.
That one I feel like took more of a role. I think players were asked about it, or Ron Rivera even was asked about
it. Has the commanders grown on you?
It's fine. Like, it's there now.
I don't like it.
It's there.
Washington football team I like better. All right, Howell, commanders, week one starter.
I would say unrealistic.
Okay. Number nine. Jalen Ramsey gets traded this offseason.
I will probably say realistic.
And it seems like there's already smoke around there.
That's why I would go realistic.
Now,
yes.
Where does he get traded to? Who's like a team that's looking for a member in the secondary this offseason?
What about Detroit?
And they have the connection with Brad Holmes.
Young defense. Not the best in terms of, you know, maybe drafting young corners. Brings leadership.
I could see that.
Won a championship.
For some reason, I don't know why, I went to Carolina.
Like Stephon Gilmore 2.0, kind of. But a little bit longer term, I guess.
Yeah, I could just see the Panthers for some reason.
All right.
I don't know if Ramsey's going to be thrilled about that, but
Dom Capers will love that. And his toupee will love that, too.
It'd really blow his hair off, I'll tell you that.
That's for sure.
And then finally, 10. Week one starter for the San Francisco 49ers. Trey Lance.
Extremely realistic.
Especially with you already here, the surgery delay could affect the 49ers quarterback plan and all that. He's now aiming to have that surgery, that elbow surgery in March. You're already starting to get, I know they said August originally, you're already starting to hear a little bit of, there's some hiccups there. And I think the door is now open for Trey Lance to be the starter. And if he doesn't win the job, it just means that a theory that I had that Kyle Shanahan had to be talked into Trey Lance, and he didn't really want it from the start. So those are my 10 predictions. What's your biggest prediction for this NFL offseason? Just wondering, hot take, Hickey.
I guess Lamar traded and extended. That's what I'll go
to where?
The Jets.
Really?
Sticking with the Jets.
You have Lamar getting traded to the Jets?
Yes.
Where do you have Derek Carr going?
Buccaneers,
and then you had Jimmy G going to the Commanders?
Jimmy G going to the Raiders.
Jimmy G to the Raiders, and you have Rodgers?
Jimmy G to the Commanders. No, sorry. I confused myself here. I don't know. I guess I left the Commanders out there. So, I may have screwed myself here.
So now you're confusing me.
I've said different times Jimmy G to the Raiders and Commanders.
Time out. I'm giving you it out. This is February 22nd. It's a new day. It's new predictions. I don't care what you said in the past. Let's forget the last 30 seconds of radio ever happened. And just, I'm going to give you the quarterback, you give me the team. Lamar Jackson.
Jets.
He's going to the Jets. Okay. Aaron Rodgers.
Dolphins.
Interesting. Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'll still stick with the Raiders.
And then Derek Carr.
Buccaneers.
Okay. I will go Derek Carr right now. Where do I want to put Derek Carr? It seems like now, and I would have predicted the Saints like a week ago, and I did. It feels like the Jets are basically trying to do whatever it takes to get Carr. They're still going to flirt with Rodgers, but who knows when the Rodgers decision is going to make. Eventually, I think the Jets get impatient, and they go and get Carr. I'll say Jimmy G to the Saints. And then Rodgers to the Raiders. I think Lamar, for now, won't get a deal done, but he's not going to get traded, and they'll probably trade him next offseason. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Take a timeout. Coming back after these short messages.
Did you know Instacart delivers more than groceries? You can get tech, beauty, office supplies, sporting goods, and more, all delivered right to your door in as fast as an hour. So whether you're cooking dinner or your phone charger is cooked, you can save yourself multiple trips by shopping over 1,000 stores in the Instacart app. Visit instacart.com or download the app to get free delivery on your first order. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to some audio that we did share to you earlier today from our conversation with the Pro Football Hall of Famer. And you could now say that with Joe Klecko going to the Hall of Fame. And he had a thought or two about Aaron Rodgers and why he does not want to see Aaron Rodgers wind up with the Jets. But before we get to that, this is a Twitter scenario, Hickey, where I want to get your take on this. And do you think this person is backpedaling just a little bit, or did I just miss it entirely? So I'm always skeptical when you have about like 7 or 8 numbers in your Twitter account. But someone named Jamie07828231 said, "Hey, Zach Gelb, I think very highly of you. Please tell me you're not friends with those two goobers here in Charlotte, Mac and T-Bone." When we were talking about Mac and Bone earlier, and they're having Dom Capers on their show tomorrow, and we want to ask, and we want Mac or Bone to ask about the, I guess you say rug?
The toupee?
Yeah.
The hairpiece?
The hairpiece, the rug, the toupee.
The rat's nest, whatever you want to call it. People got plenty of words to use.
That is on top of the dome of one Dom Capers. So that was the tweet that I got from Jamie with the bunch of numbers attached to his name. And I just wrote back, I love me some Mac and Bone. Because I do. Those guys are great. They do a great job on WFNZ, one of our great affiliates. So then Bone responded back saying, "I don't know how I would sleep tonight after being called a goober." And then Jamie responded saying, "Hey, T-Bone, what's up, my man?" with a laughing face emoji. "Zach, believe it or not, some of us actually like these guys. I'm sure T-Bone knows I'll be listening again in the morning. Sleep well, guys." This seems like someone that's panicking because they sent what I thought was a kind of like, I don't want to say hateful tweet, but a tweet trying to bash Mac and Bone. And then when I go to defend Mac and Bone, I think this person tried to backpedal a little bit. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you call someone out on Twitter, it feels like, oh, now it's like the laughing emoji. I'll be listening, like,
yeah.
All right, you really got in there, Jamie.
Well, that's also the thing that I like. I don't actually like it. When someone's like, "Oh, you suck." And then you're like, "Oh, okay, thanks." And like, "Oh, I was trying to get you riled up. Listen to the show every night." And this is another example of why we call Twitter an absolute cesspool. Because in one moment, it's like, "You're the worst." And then 30 seconds later, "You're the best. Listen to you every day."
Was Jamie an egg face?
No, even worse.
Interesting.
I actually think it's better to be an egg face than just have a generic profile picture. Like when you just have a picture of a blue sky with a cloud and then a plane, I think that's even, I would rather just go egg face in that regard.
I feel like it gives you some personality. At least I know you're not a bot, or at least, you know, you are somewhat interested in Twitter.
Does it really make you think that they're not a bot?
Can bots pick their own profile pictures? I don't think so.
I don't know. Maybe they have some trained robots. I would probably think they could. Only
internet is starting to get
only following 2 people.
Better.
So that does seem very botish. I don't know. Is the internet really starting to get better?
Well, no, not better in terms of better. I mean, sorry, like better in terms of like pretending to be a real person.
Yeah.
Chat GPT. You know that? No?
No. Go
ahead.
It's
like Bing's AI system that's basically now
real
person or is trying to be a real person.
The bot is the kid that would that you could like talk to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of gotten out of control.
Yeah. You took me back a few years there. There is no doubt about that. You remember that when you were a kid when you would log on and you could messenger like the robots and things like that online?
No.
On AIM chat? No?
No.
Yeah, that was a thing. That's what I thought you were talking
message
about.
Message robots?
Yeah. That was a thing.
What would you talk to them about?
Everyone in school would do. You just like message Clippy, a robot.
You talk to Clippy if you're in Microsoft Word and you have a question about commas or...
Oh, the paperclip.
Yes. I think it's Clippy.
The friendly paperclip.
Sure. Yeah. That you can write messages to because you have questions.
Now, maybe it's just because Marco like walked into the room. I actually would hope that if they ever brought back Clippy, it would be like an angry person. You know?
Why?
Like, kind of like a Grinch. And you said, "Marco, learn how to copy and paste, you idiot," or something like that. I think think we need a little bit more tough love than everyone just being so nice when trying to give out instructions.
I'm old, I'm a curmudgeon, I'm angry. All things that I learn as I walk into the studio.
You're the Grinch, Marco, in case
yeah.
you didn't know.
Who knew?
Pick me up.
Who knew?
Welcome in.
That's good.
Anyway, here is the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Joe Klecka, who joined us earlier. Congratulations to him and his family on making the Hall of Fame. And at the end of the conversation, we had to ask him about Aaron Rodgers and if he would be interested in the Jets trading for the star quarterback. Are you hoping they find a way to pull off a deal for Rodgers?
No. No, I don't. I don't think Rodgers is a fit with the young guys. You know, I relate them to myself with a young team that came up when we started winning and why it was a good fit with all of us because we all worked together and came up together, you know? And I just think, you know, I've watched Rodgers over the years. He's a great player. Hey, listen, you don't become MVP three times without doing what he's done. But, you know, when he didn't have the perfect arrangement with receivers and game plan and the line, you know, his attitude was condescending so much to the players, even when they would come back to the huddle and all. And I can't see that, you know, like Wilson, you know, he won the Rookie of the Year offensive player. I can't see him coming back to the huddle and, you know, Rodgers lambasting him for running the wrong route, you know. I mean, you just, it's not going to fit. I don't see it. You know, I see a guy like Carr, who's an all-pro. He hasn't been an MVP, but he's had some great years. But I just can't see, you know, them going after you know, a guy that has had all his years and had his way, and then when it doesn't turn out his way, he goes dark. You know, I just can't see it.
So you could see him ruin the locker room is what you're saying.
Absolutely. You got a young bunch of guys that are fighting with each other, and you have to bring a guy in who has his own opinion about things. I think that can turn a bad feeling in that locker room.
So there you go. I think that was made pretty clear by Joe Klecka, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. He is not someone that wants to see Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. And I was actually, we have video that we're going to release of this. And when he was saying it, like, I was kind of smiling at first because at first I thought he was being sarcastic because everyone's like, oh, the Jets have to trade for Rodgers. The Jets have to trade for Rodgers. And then he goes through that answer, Marco. I guess if you're the Jets beggars, sometimes they can't be choosers. Where if you haven't had a great quarterback in forever, so you get someone like Rodgers, I guess you have to do it. But if they think Carr is supposed to be great, and there's that report from Diana Rossini that they told him, we think you could be a Hall of Fame quarterback and win a Super Bowl in New York, that costs you nothing, and there's more of a window with Carr if you actually do believe in him just because he's younger.
Yeah, look, what Klecko said is not wrong. He's right in the fact that Aaron Rodgers is a curmudgeon. You talk about me being a curmudgeon. Aaron Rodgers is definitely a curmudgeon. There's no doubt about that.
He's
going to want to do things his way, and it could really be oil and water, especially in the New York market.
Yeah.
There's one thing that's, to me, missing in that scenario. The Jet players hate Zach Wilson.
Yes.
Not a little bit. They hate Zach Wilson.
They wore t-shirts for Mike White.
To the point where they were pumping up Mike White to be the next coming because simply the thing that he had was he's not Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
So if you bring in Aaron Rodgers as much as he could be that oil and water, for the Jets, it's a breath of fresh air into their locker room.
Yes.
They may not get the sullen annoyance of what Aaron Rodgers can bring to them until late in the year. At that point, winning and losing is going to be what determines it. So I don't think it's as bad a fit because of where the Jets are coming from.
And also, if let's say him in the locker room is such a problem, it does get wiped away if you're winning. Like if Zach Wilson was a pain in the ass, but he was winning and he was a star in the
right
field, you may have some people that don't like him, but you go to war, you go to battle, you go to fight for that guy because you're winning. He wasn't really holding up his end of the bargain, and that's what ended up killing him.
It's not only not winning, because they were actually winning at times. They were winning in spite of him, and that was the problem.
Playing well, though.
And they felt, yeah, that was the thing. Look, Aaron Rodgers is, for all the things we talk about, and for all the things that he's got issues with, the guy can play. Bottom line, the guy can play. Nobody can argue that. I don't want to hear, like, oh, look at the year he came off. I don't care. I don't care.
And he's
Aaron Rodgers.
Before, even when he has what is considered a bad year, it's still better than, like, 80%
of the quarterback. That's what I'm saying. So, like, he's compared to Aaron Rodgers. He's not compared to other quarterbacks. He's compared to himself. That's how good he is. There's not a lot of guys in the league that are compared to themselves. So to me, that's an automatic in the fact of talking talent-wise. Now, if you want to say he's not available, he's only going to be available for a year or two. You think Derek Carr is that good for that long? Hey, so be it. If you're telling me Derek Carr is the same as Aaron Rodgers, I think you need to get your head examined. Because you can't tell me that Derek Carr is the same player as Aaron Rodgers. So if you want to give me a lot of other ancillary reasons, I'll listen. But you can't go on straight talent and the fact that one's a Hall of Famer and so's the other. Stop. I don't want to hear it.
And also, I'm not yelling at Diana Rossini here. It's the information she was given. So it's not Diana Rossini's opinion on this about Derek Carr. But that was the information she was given, that the Jets think that Carr could win a Super Bowl and could be a Hall of Famer. If that's the case, though, if the Jets actually believe that, here's the thing. It would be very Jet-like. Because the Jets mess up almost every quarterback, and they pick the wrong guy. They don't know how to evaluate the position. It doesn't matter who the regime is. So it would fall into the Jet what?
That's fair, but also keep in mind, too, there's one thing. One, he's on a free agent visit, so
it's
you're pumping him up.
Pitch, yeah.
So you're pumping him up. That's first off. Second, let's be fair. Derek Carr plays for the Jets for 7 or 8 years and plays well enough that he gets them and wins a Super Bowl in New York. You know what? He might be in that category. You know why? Because he'll be a, 6-7-time Pro Bowler at that point, and he'll be a guy that took the Jets to win a Super Bowl. It will pump up his stats, and it will pump up his resume to the point where we're actually having that conversation.
Now, let me be clear.
And that's the bottom line. That's true. That's fair.
She said also it was first ballot Hall of Famer.
I don't care. First ballot, second ballot, third ballot, what the hell's the difference? If you're talking about, look, he's not the same because Matthew Stafford's a little bit better. But Matthew Stafford is now going to walk into the Hall of Fame. I think we can all agree on that, right?
I don't know about that.
I think he is. And I think it's all because he won that title with the Rams. Okay. And it all became, well, you know what? He was with the Lions. He had big numbers. He took him to the playoffs. But he was never looked at as a winner. He went to the Rams. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's a Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. To me, there's the same kind of concept. Carr's a, 4-time Pro Bowler, which is now watered down because of what's going on lately. But still, he takes them and wins a Super Bowl with the Jets. I mean, that's a big step.
Two things, and I don't know if this is the way that it's going to move into the future, but I think after Eli Manning, that class of Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger, we shouldn't maybe necessarily put too much stock at the back end of the top 10 list for passing yards and passing touchdowns, because a lot of guys are going to get into that top 10 if you just play a certain amount of years, and you may still not be a Hall of Famer. Yeah. And the other part is the Pro Bowl thing. I'm glad you brought this up, because Snoop Huntley was a Pro Bowler this year, and I'm a Patriot fan. Mac Jones was a Pro Bowler 2 years ago, his rookie year.
Right.
And Mac was fine his rookie year, but he wasn't deserving of going to a Pro Bowl.
Right.
So
you got to be careful with those. I
think now we have to move away a little bit from the Pro Bowl conversation, but with Stafford, he only made one Pro Bowl, and I think also when he won that Super Bowl, a lot of people in the moment were like, Hall of Famer? Let's just say if the next 3-4 years, they're just filled with injuries. I thought he needed to then just play well the next 3 to 4 years, and then he got hurt this year, and I think it then brought that conversation and reeled it back in on his Hall of Fame status.
And that could all be the case. But bottom line, once he won that Super Bowl, we all of a sudden started to go, you know what? Maybe he is a Hall of Famer. And that would be the same concept with a guy like Derek Carr. Good career. You're telling me in the next 5 years he plays that well, and he plays well enough to get the Jets a Super Bowl victory. There is a difference between just winning a Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl with the Jets, the Browns, or the Lions.
Yeah.
Those are different categories. And if you're telling me Carr goes off the street and plays that well, and he's, I mean, again, you can't just be along for the ride. Mm-hmm. He carries them or brings them to a title and wins a Super Bowl and possibly a Super Bowl MVP, all of a sudden we're going to have that conversation. Right or wrong, we are.
Let me ask you this, though. And you're a Giant fan. Should Phil Simms be in the Hall of Fame?
To me, he was always borderline.
And let me just to be fair, and I'll let you finish in a second. The reason I ask that is because it's like we're talking about one Super Bowl.
Right.
So that's why I was just
curious. I get it. And to me, Phil Simms is kind of that tough category because he got hurt so much and because the back end of his career was the in and out with Hostetler because of Ray Hanley's ineptitude. So there's some problems there. I think he's borderline. I would probably lean towards yes.
Okay.
But I understand numbers are never going to match up because it's a different game.
Yeah.
And he had so many years that were just shredded by injury. If he was healthy in 90 and he had finished the season, they won the Super Bowl with him, he walks in no problem with two titles and it's not an issue. He got hurt so many times in his career. It really, really hurt him down the stretch.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So you're saying when I put out a tweet earlier that there's a better chance that I go on a date with Beyonce than Derek Carr becoming a first ballot Hall of Famer, you're saying you're taking the Carr side on that?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. For a million reasons. But again, you win a title with the Jets. If he makes a couple, again, with the Pro Bowls, whatever. He has 4,000 yards passing, 30 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, wins a Super Bowl MVP with the Jets. We will all of a sudden start to have that conversation. Right or wrong, whether he gets in or not is a different story. The question would be, would there be a conversation of it? And there is, unfortunately. There is.
By the way, I can't believe, and it's Twitter, like how many people saw that tweet of mine and actually thought I was being serious about the Beyonce line, thinking that I actually thought I had a shot to go on a date with Beyonce. She's a married woman,
I don't know. You think highly of yourself, but I don't think that highly. That's a bit much. That's a stretch.
It's a good line by Marco. It's good to have you back. You know, you're like a...
I'm the curmudgeon,
you're
apparently.
A friendly guy
yeah,
today.
Great. I'm the mildew on the wall. You just got to have it for some reason.
One day away from the office, you come back in a much better mood.
I was fine.
It must have been a wonderful night for you last night.
Oh, it was great. It was tremendous.
Marco was on a little take care of the wife duty. Wife wasn't feeling well.
Luckily she's okay. Again, I'll throw it out. She's pregnant. She's six months pregnant. So when you get a 6-month pregnant woman sick, and I mean, she was very sick, and I got a 2-year-old that I got the easy end of it, of taking care of my daughter. Mm-hmm. My son could take care of himself. My daughter taking care of her while my wife is now for the last couple of days been just an absolute mess. So hopefully she gets better and that, you know, we could take care of everything. Working at night, the drawback, it's hard to tell a 2-year-old, hey, go to bed. Like, he just doesn't work like that. Like, somebody's got to take care of that.
You miss out on some of the tough moments, I feel.
Well,
like.
And again, that I don't mind. It's not like, oh, it's difficult. Oh, you got to... That was easy. We had a blast. Now, she's yelling PJ Masks and singing songs until 11 o'clock at night. I didn't need that. But, you know, it was fun.
Does your wife ever pull, I'll call Dad if you don't go to bed?
I think they're smart enough to realize that I'm not going to come home from the city. So,
you got smart kids, man.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to buy that line, but they do know that I'll be home in the morning.
Okay.
And yes, I am the enforcer. Now, I know that's a surprise to everyone in this room. I am the enforcer.
Yeah. That's not surprising to me whatsoever. You know, I'm shocked by that.
I know. It's out of character. I'm aware.
It may be the lead of our show tomorrow.
I'm definitely the enforcer. Yes, that's a problem.
We'll get to the closing bell on the other side.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
First home game for Michigan State since the horrible shooting up against Indiana. And last night when I was walking out of here, I saw that the Michigan State Spartans were down by 8 points. They ended up winning the game 80-65. Let's listen up to Tom Izzo on how the win will help the healing process at Michigan State.
I saw Luana Simon the other day, and she gave me maybe a good quote. She says, Tom, you want to hug 15,000 people all the time? I said, yeah, I do. And even more than that, she said, well, the way to hug 15,000 people is for your team to play well in front of them. And I thought that was a damn good statement. And I told my team that. I said, if you want to make people feel better and you want to, you know, give them a hug, this is the way you give them a hug. So I hope all 15,000 people enjoyed the hug. And I'm honored to be a part of something. You know, there's dates that you always remember. And unfortunately, some of them are dates that are very negative and just the way it works. But today was a day that I think people will remember, and unfortunately last Monday was a day they'll remember. I hope this one brought a little bit of a smile to some people's face.
And we said nothing but the best to the Michigan State community. Spartan Strong was the message last night. Good to see them get a win on the basketball court and give those fans something to cheer about. So give the Michigan State Spartan basketball team a stock up. Reese Davis. This was in the Miami game last night. I know they missed 2 free throws, but you did have Miami win the game. Now, if you miss 2 free throws, I guess, at Virginia Tech, you get free bacon? Oh, I'm all in for that. Listen up. Reese Davis, courtesy of ESPN.
Now, we got to get this here. After Jordan Miller missed that free throw, the crowd's going nuts. Here's why. If he misses the second one, everybody in this house gets free bacon. Bacon for everybody! Sizzled up in the frying pan. The Hokies 6-1 all time when the fans win bacon.
That's awesome. Now, the stat didn't end up improving, but nothing like showing some love to some bacon. We all love some bacon. Stock up, Therese Davis. UNC Hoops almost won the national championship last year in a great run. Now they've lost 5 out of their last 6. They currently sit on the year 16-11, and right now they are trailing Notre Dame, who is having a bad year at 10-17. The Fighting Irish are up 27-19 as the first half is wrapping up with 6 seconds to go. Give a stock down to UNC. Quickly going to pivot back to a stock up. College football is entertaining some potential changes to speed up the pace of play. No back-to-back timeouts. No stop clock after a first down unless it's under the first, under 2 minutes of the first half of the second half. The clock will run after an incomplete pass. That one I don't love. And no one timed down if there's a penalty to end the first quarter or third quarter. Just go right to the second or right to the fourth. I like 3 out of those 4 changes. So I will give a stock up to the potential changes in college football. And Hickey, these games are just too long. That's what it comes down to. Like, I love college football, but there's sometimes these games start at noon and, like, you're sitting there at 3:45, 4 o'clock, and you're like, oh, my God, how is this game still going on?
I have no problem with the length. I like it. If it's a good game, I don't care how long it is. I think that's the attitude for most people.
Yeah, but a lot of times the games aren't that great.
In the regular. Something else.
I'm just saying. I love college football, but there are a lot of times where you're sitting there and you're like, I can't believe this game is still going on. That's the one sport. And I know we talk about it a lot about baseball. How do we increase the pace of play and all that? College football, a lot of times, way too long when you're in some of these regular season games. All righty. That is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to our QB Carousel guests and also Joe Klecka. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everyone. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.